With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're recording.
We certainly are recording. We'll just try a bit of level first. It's been a long time, and mainly your fault,
Mainly?
Yeah, because you've not been available for recording right. The podcast, and it's become so popular as well.
Yeah, it's heard. There's been riots in the streets. It's chilly.
It is chilly, isn't it? The weather's been awful.
Let's talk about the weather. We all know that's scintillating.
Let's talk about the weather.
Okay.
And I'm more or less ready to start.
Yeah, no, and then you say...
Sorry?
Then you say, hello. You know what we should do? We should be like, hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
Hello, this is a fantastic new podcast. Myself, Martin Kellner, and my daughter Ruth, 17 years old. I'm a good deal older than that. And it's...
No.
Yes. And it's number four in our series of father and daughter podcasts, in which I explain to Ruth what life is all about, and Ruth explains to me what the young people are doing these days. We had a discussion the other day about the Kardashians. Now, I know the paterfamilias, if you like. I know the boss, the father of the Kardashians, who was O.J. Simpson's lawyer. But you were talking about one or two of the other Kardashians.
Well, we got onto
this. So just give me a quick rundown.
So we got onto this because Kylie had just had her baby.
This is Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner had just had her baby. And I mentioned that Kylie Jenner had had her baby. And you said, who's Kylie Jenner?
More or less. Well, because I've heard of the other one that was Bruce Jenner. That's obviously not Kylie Jenner.
Wow. Nothing gets past you. Okay, so... Rob Kardashian...
We'd probably do without the sarcasm, actually,
well,
but go on.
Could we? Rob Kardashian got together with Kris Jenner. They had some kids, Courtney, Chloe, Kim, who were the girls, and then Rob.
Right.
No one really talks about Rob. I'd feel bad if I was
Why
Rob.
Why don't they talk about Rob?
Because, I mean, their whole brand is about, like, clothes and makeup and photos, and no one really talks about Rob. But then there's Chloe, Courtney, and Kim.
Okay.
Kim is married to Kanye, and they have two kids, North and Saint.
North?
North.
As in the direction north?
Northwest.
Right, and... Ah, I see.
Kanye West.
There's a
Kim
really
Kardashian West.
Northwest?
Northwest and Saint West.
Ridiculous. I used to know somebody who was called Teresa Green.
I don't... But you've said this to me before, and I'm... inclined not to believe
no,
you.
No, seriously.
Seriously.
Teresa Green was her name. But I suppose Northwest is a sort of modern equivalent of Teresa Green. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Courtney is married. Oh, no, she's not married, but she's got kids with Scott Disick, who I don't even know who that is, to be honest. And they have Mason, Penelope, and Rain.
Right.
Because Rain is like the new...
So I did a competition years ago on the radio as for your favourite Courtney. Is it Courtney Cox? Or is it Courtney Pine?
But now Courtney Kardashian.
Courtney Kardashian.
Yeah. Chloe's not getting any kids, neither is Rob. And then, so then Chris and Rob, I'm forgetting their names because Rob and Chris had a kid called Rob. So I'll say Robert when it's the paterfamilias. Is that right?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
Paterfamilias.
Paterfamilias. Hey, Latin GCSE, me.
Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about your school.
You
know,
yeah.
This is the fun bit.
Right, I'll do it quickly now. So then Rob and Chris broke up, and now Chris married Bruce Jenner, and who then transitioned and is now Caitlyn Jenner.
Right.
And they had two kids, Kylie and Kendall. And then Kylie has just had a baby with Travis Scott.
Right.
And that baby's name is Stormy.
Yeah, Stormy.
Stormy, with an I.
Stormy with an I,
obviously. Oh my gosh, I've just forgotten that Kanye and Kim have another kid called Chicago. Because everyone was like, it's looking stormy north of Chicago with a bit of rain.
So that's the Kardashians dealt with. The other day we were watching, and this is the first time I watched this probably for about 2 years. We must watch 10 minutes, quarter of an hour of Loose Women.
Yeah, because I was home midday.
You were home midday.
Yeah, because
bunking off school.
Bunking off, or I didn't have a lesson.
So what's a bit Loose Women? You don't like the whole concept of it.
No, I think it's stupid.
So why are they loose?
Where were they before? Why are they now loose?
Yeah.
Will they always be loose?
Who knows?
Will they be kept?
So who did we see on that?
Again?
Because there was a few.
So Stacey Solomon.
That's right.
Christine Brinkley,
yeah.
But well, she's Lampard. Is she Lampard now, or does she still go by Bleakley?
I don't know, but anyway, yeah, Frank Lampard's wife.
And then the woman who writes for The Sun.
Jane Moore?
Yeah, and I can't remember,
and
there was someone else.
Well, there was a fourth one, and neither of us knew who she was.
Yeah, some other loose woman. I just find the whole concept very patronising. And then James Martin came on, and they were talking about James Martin like he was some kind of Greek god.
Yeah, they were.
Which
they
we've decided.
We've decided that James Martin... I've decided that James Martin's a bit of a twat. And then we came...
Wanker, up, I think, was the word you used.
Okay. But then we came up with a... you really came up with a theory mm-hmm. about celebrities.
The nicer a celebrity appears to be, the bigger of a twat they actually are.
Yes. And this has sort of been borne out by experience. I mean, I've met James Martin. I've not met a lot of other celebrities.
No, we
were talking about, because James Corden.
Comes over so he comes up so nice, so lovely. Everyone wants to work with him.
Carpool,
whatever.
Karaoke.
But then there's been a lot of stories out that have said, "Oh my God, what an absolute twat."
Yeah.
Then Jimmy Carr, I think, comes across really badly. Like he seems like such an idiot.
And most comedy people that you meet say. He's a perfectly okay.
Yeah. I mean, dodges his taxes, but not a terrible person.
No, a lot of people say he's not a terrible person. But
Gordon Ramsay as well.
Gordon Ramsay
seems awful. Like, shouts at people, so bad, swears all the time, whatever. But I've never heard stories about him actually being an idiot.
No, I mean, he's had a lot of disputes within his family, but we're just guessing on this. I mean, for all we know, James Martin,
we are just guessing.
Nonsense. James Martin may turn out to be
lovely.
A perfectly lovely guy.
Mm-hmm.
So apologies to him if he's not a twat.
I don't know whether he listens, you know.
I doubt it. So he may turn out to be perfectly okay. James Corden, very much doubt it, although he's a West Ham fan, so we're sort of cutting a little bit of slack there.
We don't know about James Corden, but I'm just saying I've heard stories about him being...
And Gordon Ramsay, we think... We've just got a feeling, and this is really a feeling...
This is just a feeling. We've not got anything to back
this
up.
No evidence at all.
Zero evidence.
Absolutely zero evidence.
No.
In fact, this is probably the least informed podcast you'll ever listen
Zilch.
To.
We've Nothing. Done no research.
No research. So, yeah, but we think that Gordon Ramsay is probably okay. Now, if anybody wants to contribute
if anyone's
to
got
this
any,
debate...
Anyone got any Gordon Ramsay stories?
Yeah,
I would love to hear them.
Well, I'd love... I mean, you meet... In my line of business, as you know, as a semi-retired broadcaster,
mm-hmm.
you do over the years. I've met lots of famous people, but in an interview situation, especially if they're plugging your book or something, you don't really get a huge amount of insight into
what they're
like. Oh, no,
you can never...
Like.
That's the
never
thing. You can never
sure.
actually know. Like, a lot of people say, you know, about, like, all the Spice Girls... People are like, oh, she seems nice, she's not nice, whatever. People really slag Victoria Beckham off. But you don't actually know unless you know someone.
Unless you actually... And then you've got to really know them. Because in an interview... I've met...
Yeah, even if you meet someone in an interview, I don't think you can properly know.
I met James Martin twice. Once he was sitting on the sofa in the sort of green room area. And I... Because I'd seen him on telly, I went up to... And you automatically think you know someone because you've seen him on TV.
Yeah.
So I went up to him and said, hello, I'm Martin, I do a show here. And he wasn't very friendly to me. And then I met him again.
He shocked me.
He opened some shite restaurant in Leeds, which now closed down, saying, oh, I'm going to get touch my roots because he's from Yorkshire and everything. He was there for about 2 days and then he disappeared in the restaurant.
People love
down.
To appear like they're actually from Yorkshire, but
no, he's actually from Yorkshire.
No, but I mean, people love to like that. Oh, my roots, I'm a Yorkshire man, born and bred, whatever. But then they just go back down to London.
And as a Lancastrian, I don't know why people make such a fuss about being from Yorkshire.
God's own country.
But, oh, right, I see. So, and what, do we have anything else to say about Rose? Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, did you? No, we didn't have anything else to say about that. I was going
to move. Tell me we didn't have anything else to say.
No, I was going to move on, but I didn't realise you were moving on. I thought you were saying...
Move on.
I was going to say, should we do meme of the week before we transition into slightly more... serious topics.
Yes, I've got a couple of serious ones.
Yeah, so we'll do meme of the week. The rest, this is the last bit I've prepared, so everything else from here on out is...
Oh, so all that was the stuff you prepared? What was
Yeah, that was... Well, okay, so...
Meme of the week.
I'm going to do two runner-up memes and then my official meme of the week.
Right.
Okay, so fun prank. Make them study for 16 years and then don't give them jobs.
Very good.
That one was topical. So that's why we did that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Then my second one, also kind of topical because we're going to talk about school. Mm. School district pulls To Kill a Mockingbird from reading list, makes people uncomfortable. I'm doing quotation marks there. Official says. And then Atticus Goldfinch tweets, that's the point of the fucking book, all in caps lock.
It's supposed to make people uncomfortable. I'm with Atticus Goldfinch.
Yeah, so someone's made like a fake Twitter account.
You don't say. There isn't a real Atticus Goldfinch.
And then meme of the week, coming in at number one.
Coming in.
I hate when people are eating yoghurt and spend 30 minutes going apeshit, scraping the container for every last drop. It's fucking yoghurt, not cocaine.
Very good. So that's the sort of thing that young people are putting out there. And you realise I'm allowing you to use these four-letter words, but don't tell your mum.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just quotes, isn't it?
Quotes, yeah. And for effect, for emphasis.
For emphasis.
We say swearing is big and clever if used in the right circumstances.
Okay. Now, this was something that I spotted, and it ties in with what you were saying about clothes in the last one we did. And this was when they had the summit, the G20 summit in Davos, you know, in Switzerland, where all the world leaders met.
Mm-hmm.
Female world leaders attending global summits often meet up in the bathrooms to complain about how media attention focuses on their clothes as opposed to their policies, according to Julia Gillard, the former Australian Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Gillard also revealed that Angela Merkel got so sick of comments about her clothes that she tried to create her own uniform by wearing the same type of outfit every day.
Yes, she does.
She does. We've all had some complaints over the wash basin, let me assure you. Because actually, we could do that in Australian because it's Ms. Gillard.
Let me assure you.
Yeah, very good. You do the Australian.
I don't know.
No, I know you're trying out your accents.
We've been working on, well, Geordie. My Welsh, my Geordie and my
Both
Irish.
All the same.
Go on, Australian?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
That's right.
Okay. We've all heard some complaints over the wash basin. Let me assure you, there were very few. Wait, Australian. There were very few women at the G20, and at those meetings, often on a trip to the bathroom or at the hand basins at the bathroom, you talk to each other and have a wry smile about some of the ridiculous. It's gone very South America, like country bumpkin.
You get
the point.
I get the point. So she says that, basically she's fed up with the press writing about what they wear
rather than their politics, which obviously men don't get. We don't talk about what men wear as much as what women wear.
No, occasionally you get these stories. Inappropriate.
Yeah, but whereas women will be judged on just normal outfits. Do you know what I mean? And you get it at school even as well. Like the boys are not subject to as much minute criticism as the girls are.
So who's criticising it? Is this on social network?
No, it's not even on social network. Just like, I do it. I'm a victim of it. You know, I'll talk about what a girl's wearing, but I wouldn't really do that to a boy unless it was something really outlandish.
Yeah.
Whereas a girl... Yeah, you are. You just are. And then, Theresa May, people don't focus on her politics. People focus on her shoes way more. You wouldn't talk about what Gordon Brown's shoes look like.
No.
Like back in the day.
Interesting is Theresa May is an interesting case because she is a world leader in that she's the British Prime Minister, and for the time being,
nothing gets past that lightning mind.
Absolutely nothing. All right, she's the Prime Minister, right? And she is a world leader.
Yeah.
And yet she sort of her posture.
She does have bad posture. She's got a hunchback.
Yeah, she stoops a wee bit.
I think.
Do you not think that? Because so much of it is about body language, is about impressions, isn't it? Because
it's about first impressions, which is, I think, why clothing is important.
It's important, why people care.
But I think it would be nice if we didn't. But I think that's the world we live in, and you've got to.
Even if you're not a world leader,
even if you just when I was working at, I was a Christmas temp at Sports Direct, and even when I worked there, I still like to present myself in a way that people would. Look approachable and people would want to talk to me. And I think it's the same thing no matter what industry you are, whether you're a world leader or not. Obviously, if you're a world leader, you're a lot more visible. But I think maybe there's...
Well, a good thing about Sports Direct was they gave you that beautiful outfit to wear, the lovely Sports Direct t-shirt and the beautiful...
beautiful, joggers. Can imagine what joggers from the 90s looked like.
It's a shame Mrs. Thatcher doesn't have a... Not Mrs. Thatcher, she's got...
Mrs. Thatcher. No, but she has... You make an interesting point there.
Yeah, because Mrs. Thatcher had a uniform, didn't she, with a handbag and everything.
But I think Theresa May has modelled herself off Margaret Thatcher a lot. She's quite... Like, she's very cold, she's very stern. She's not the... Oh, I want to be their best friend politician at all.
She tries to be a bit, you see. And it's not, it doesn't suit
her. Yeah,
she should just
pick one.
Because Mrs. Thatcher used to walk
the
Iron Lady. And she had this handbag, she clutched this handbag. And when she was walking into a, you know, she looked so purposeful when she was walking into a meeting. Theresa May is still trying to be more approachable. Because Mrs. Thatcher wasn't approachable.
She's like your teacher in school who's trying to be your friend, but they're not really. So it just comes across cringy and weak.
Tell us about your teachers then in school.
I have three teachers in school because I do three subjects.
Let's establish what you're doing. You're doing A-levels at a college in West Yorkshire.
Yeah, we're not saying where it
is. So you're A-levels at college in West Yorkshire and you're doing English, French and history.
I just forgot then. I was about to say, but then I forgot. I'm doing English literature and modern history.
Right.
And then French.
Right.
And so I have three teachers and then I have another one for form. But I have three teachers and two out of three are Scottish.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
I don't think it tells me anything, but it tells me that I should be quite good at a Scottish accent now, but I'm not.
So you do three A-levels, isn't there? I mean, how anxious are you getting at this stage?
Quite. Yeah, they're really hard. They're really, really hard, and it's a lot of work. It's quite stressful.
Do you think then GCSEs are too easy, so it doesn't prepare you for the hard work that you have to do?
I think it's just more like GCSEs are very formulaic. Is that a word?
Yeah, formulaic as well.
Formulaic, so
you're the English student.
You just like follow what you do, and if you do all that, then you'll get the good grades or whatever. But A-levels, you have to think for yourself a lot more, and that's what's surprising. And you also have to do a lot of your own work, you know, outside lessons, wider reading, all that kind of stuff.
And what are you reading for English literature? You've done...
I do dystopian literature, so I do 1984 and A Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. And then I do...
But you have to read other stuff like, is it Slaughterhouse-Five and things like that?
I'm reading Fahrenheit 451 at the moment. Yeah. You have to read, like, A Clockwork Orange, book called We by...
I don't know it.
No, it's by, like, it's not Kazuo Ishiguro, but it might as well be, like,
it's by some guy.
Some woman, I think, whose name is really hard to pronounce. And
it's marvellous with women, these days, writing books and everything.
Yeah, no, get us. And
get you.
Then we do coursework on the History Boys.
Right. And we usually talk about a movie. We saw The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Oh, we did. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about that. That was a bizarre film.
It's like, if you've seen it, it's very... But, like...
It's very dark.
It's very dark. And it's disturbing and, like, harrowing.
It's disturbing and harrowing,
but.
Yeah.
What, like, I would recommend it if you were going to see it, which I'm not going to be like, oh, you should definitely go see it.
Oh, no.
But if you do, read up about it first. Because when I read up about it afterwards, I had more of an appreciation about,
it's,
you know,
a Greek,
it's like a Greek myth. And she's studying, the girl is studying the Greek myth at school. And so I missed that. But
it's not one to just wandering off the street. It's not like Notting Hill or something where you're just wandering off the street and watching.
Notting Hill is your most, like,
I love
that was your go-to.
Least like Killing of a Sacred Deer, it's Notting Hill. So if you think of the diametric opposite of Notting Hill.
No, it's like the diametric opposite of, like, Valentine's Day, if you've seen that.
Yeah.
Because it is Valentine's Day today.
It is.
Not said Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, that's another thing. Happy Valentine's. Valentine's Day has now, because of the card industry and the present industry, the chocolate industry and the flower industry, it's become a time when you give people... It used to be an anonymous thing. You would send...
Like secret admirer letters.
It was a secret
admirer
thing.
But you know what I would say?
But now you just swipe right for that.
You know what's even... What is even more overplayed than the Valentine's Day, you know, big red hearts, whatever thing, is people who hate Valentine's Day. That annoys me more because people, it's become such like a, it's cliche to be like, oh, I hate Valentine's Day. It's really annoying.
Yeah. So you're the backlash to the backlash.
I'm the backlash to the backlash. So there's people who like Valentine's Day. There's people who hate Valentine's Day. Then there's people who hate the people who hate Valentine's Day. And I'm one of those.
Let me read you a bit of a column that Matt Ridley wrote in the Times this week. I'm sure I'm not alone in finding the cultural revolution that we're going through difficult to understand. Like a free-living Regency rationalist who's survived to see Victorian prudery. He says, I turned 60 last week and expected by now to find myself in periodic grumpy disapproval of the younger generation's scorn for tradition, love of change and tolerance of anything goes. Instead, I find something approaching the opposite. The terrifying censoriousness of the young, even sometimes their own children, and the eggshell-treading dread of saying the wrong thing in front of them. What happened to the liberation of the 60s and 70s when you could start to forget hierarchy and say just about anything to and about anybody? Recognise... I mean,
that,
I certainly...
I'm going to go back to 1984 because it's just on my mind. About how someone said in an article that I was reading that political correctness is basically newspeak.
Newspeak?
Yeah, because it's just like taking away people's language and the way they can express themselves to a point where you're just not allowed to say anything anymore. And if people don't have the language to do it, then...
So you're more or less agreeing with Matt Ridley in a way.
Yeah, no, I think...
But we
won't go so extreme.
Because we've all seen somebody, a politician, or even a politician, any public figure makes a joke.
But we've talked about this before, how it's the situation that you do it in is of the most importance. The things that I would say to my friends, like joking, are completely different to the things that I would post on Twitter. That's what you've got to do. You've got to understand that you say in a private circle
I couldn't say anything...
Like in 1984?
Yeah, like in 1984. Or like in flipping Nazi era, would rat out their parents, as you put it. It starts with Harvey Weinstein, and you think, brilliant.
You lump in everything with Me Too, that's the problem. That's about sexual assault. He's talking correctness.
Well, it should be about sexual assault. But now, and with this, we talked about the safe spaces at university and everything, it's all lumped in, but it's not... You know, you really have to think twice. The other day, I was talking to somebody about Christopher Walken, and I said, oh, yeah, I know somebody used to do a brilliant impersonation of Christopher Walken. Oh, hang on, it was Kevin Spacey. We're not allowed to mention, you know, Kevin Spacey.
But
suddenly,
you're allowed to mention him. Like,
I know, but he's airbrushed from
we've
history,
always
isn't
said
he?
That art has to be separate from artist. And we said this about Woody Allen,
Woody
didn't
Allen,
we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Art has to be, art, yeah, art must be separate from artist. Mm. Same as with T.S. Eliot. We know that T.S. Eliot was an anti-Semite, but it doesn't make him any worse of a poet.
No, and what the other thing gets me is all these great rock bands that we love and revere, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, mm-hmm. virtually anybody you can mention. If we're hunting for people from the 70s and 80s who behaved inappropriately to the opposite
yeah,
sex...
Yeah, have you seen that video of John Lennon who's like doing an impression of someone with like a mental disability?
Yeah, there's that. But I mean, mm-hmm. I have to say their sexual politics wasn't always up to snuff as far as the modern day goes. But
I think just like in whatever movement there's ever going to be, people just take it to extremes.
So, and are we leaving them with a bit of a cliffhanger?
A cliffhanger, yeah.
Yeah, because we didn't... We,
what did
we
you
often,
say last week?
Well, we didn't do it last week. The week before, we promised a cliff... Or the week before that, we promised a cliffhanger about herbal teas. And I know the herbal tea community are tuned in, waiting for the rest
we've
of
we've not
the,
done it again.
And we've not done it again.
So we're not... we were going to taste herbal teas, weren't we? But we've not...
You can't be bothered. And then we did that other cliffhanger about meditation and...
Oh, mindfulness.
Mindfulness. What do you understand by mindfulness?
Like meditation.
Yeah.
And like yoga and like
is it not
thinking
sort of,
and like
I think mindfulness is something
like
different.
Freeing your mind.
But like, also it's living in the moment as well. Mindfulness. I think if you're walking through, just walking down the street, it's noticing.
It's about not thinking all the time. So just letting yourself be. I think. Mm. I was going to do research.
You were going to do research. So that'll be the cliffhanger for this week.
Will
Ruth have done any research before next week's podcast? Thank you very much indeed, Ruth.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.